Our Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for this good number to come out today, dear Father, to the house of God. We pray that we won't disappoint them because we're hoping we don't disappoint you. We did our best to be able to prayerfully consider the message for the day. And Lord, we pray that you'd honor yourself now by helping this frail body present it in a way that the Holy Spirit could use it to bring it recessed to our hearts as we hear with our ears and our mind. God, honored yourself again for this precious book. We thank you for it, and we thank you for the privilege to be able to be here today to center around as our textbook to learn about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. If you would, take your Bible, first of all, and turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Back a few months ago, I asked the church on a Wednesday night if they would come up with some topics. We've been looking at things that are hard to define and discuss that's found in the Bible, some messages or some topics of message they'd like to hear, and then I would take something maybe I never have talked about before and preach on. And then I got a bunch. I got about 15 different subjects that people turned in, and this is one of the subjects today that I've been working on for a number of weeks now, and I'm hoping to be a blessing because it's a very important question that people ask today. We're so intellectually above where they think that people have always been due to our modern-day civilization. In modern-day times, they think we have advantage in knowledge, and therefore we've grown so much that the world is trying to make God into something he's not, or make him not exist at all, or claim he has equals in this world of other gods when we know he does not. And so the message comes from that today. There's a man who was in court in a hit-and-run drive. And, of course, a guy was crossing a busy street, and this guy driving his car hit him. And he got a lawyer and went to court, and the lawyer said to the judge, he said, "Your Honor," he said, "the man who was injured must have been very careless." This is the guy, the lawyer who was driving the car. He said, "The man who was injured must have been very careless when he actually walked across that street," he said, "because my person I'm representing has been driving with great experience for 30 years. And therefore, I know that this guy must have been very careless." And the other lawyer jumped up and said, "Your Honor, I want to say to you, if experience is the issue here in this trial, I want you to know my client has been walking for over 55 years. Amen." Well, it's one thing for sure. We try to declare some things at times, and we don't have all the information that's needed, or we cannot put the information together, or we get with a group that goes the way we like to go. And since we have peers who believe what we believe, we feel like we're okay. Well, I've never accepted that in my life. I believe the Bible's true. Whatever it says, if I miss it, I miss it. But I better try not to miss it. And because I am frail and in a body, I can miss some things. But I believe God honors his word by studying. Now, the question that was asked, why won't God give absolute proof of his existence physically rather than spiritually? Or why won't God reveal himself physically like some would like to have him to do that they wished he would? You've never seen God physically. I never have either. But how do you know that he exists? I know he exists. I just know it. One thing, he exists because of the Spirit of God lives in me and bears witness of that. Another thing is, when I look at this universe, I realize it had to have an intelligent design. And I realize that I don't know no human being could have done it, so it must be a higher power than that. And if it's going to be that, I'm going to listen to the one who said he did it. And I have the Word of God for that. So now here in James chapter 2, my first reference is in verse 18 and 19. James said, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." I love that because it shows us, and there's a verse that says a lot. God, you heard me say many times, God can only see our heart. No one outside in this world in humanity can see our heart. But they can see our works by faith, which should be that on our heart, and they would judge us by what they see in our lives rather than what we say. We can say a lot of things and be wrong. And yet God sees our heart. You know, you and I don't have to do one thing to show God we're saved, because he sees our heart. But I'll tell you this, you'll never know I'm saved, and I'll never know you see unless I see something other than just what you say. And so he says here that. But then notice verse 19, he warns us. He says, thou believest that there is one God. Now, he didn't say thou believest if there's a God. He said, if thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. But then watch cautiously, he says, the devils also believe and tremble. Believing there is a God, but ladies and gentlemen, it has no effect on them. You mean people could actually be like even the demons of hell and the devil himself, believe that there's a God and tremble with that effect and refuse to follow him? Because those who fail, exactly what they did. They refused to follow God according to his own rules and regulations, and therefore tried to usurp God's authority on his throne through Satan. Or Satan did that and led the others in that arena, and they all failed. Now turn with me to Romans, if you will, chapter 1. We'll read 18 through 20, and then we'll move into the message. Verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Well, isn't it amazing? Most people who are saved today don't look at ungodliness and unrighteousness. They just look at there's some deeds that are evil, and because of that, people can be rehabbed, you know, and put in rehab and bring them to a point where those things are removed. Listen, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Man is a sinner. Unless sin is removed, he cannot be rehabbed in any form or go to rehab in any form and end up getting better. Now, the thing about it is this. You say, well, he might be a good citizen, but that don't mean he can go to heaven. You have to be born physically to be a good citizen in this world. And you have to be born again to be a citizen in heaven. Amen. So we have to get those things straight. Then watch what he says. He talks about, he said, against all ungodliness, unrighteous of men. Watch the next two words. Who hold, what? The truth in unrighteousness. That is, these men hold. The word hold means to suppress or press down where it cannot come up. They suppress and hold down this thing of unrighteousness, the truth of unrighteousness, so others cannot see it, and therefore they don't see what God reveals us to see in this life. Then notice he said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He's saying that what we see proves there is a God beyond our thinking. He says, and when you look at the invisible things of him from the creation, everything we see had to be created. And therefore, when you come to the person who exists to create, then you realize he is the creator. And since he is the creator, there's no one to create him. And therefore, because we see that which is created, is enough intelligence and information to let us know there's got to be a creator. And he's trying to reveal himself to us through his word, by his spirit, and all those things he's given us in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And yet man who's lost don't want to accept the God that's trying to reveal himself to us, but they want to find the God they want to find because of the lost condition. And so we're going to look for just a few minutes, why won't God reveal himself physically like some wish that he would? You and I live in a time today that where we don't understand, because we're told that we evolved. We started with a lower level of life and we evolved to a higher level. In other words, there came a time that we were probably with a reprobate mind. If I would look at it from God's viewpoint to understand why man looks at it from evolution. In God's viewpoint, and I used this word the other night, devolution. From God's viewpoint, there's devolution. That is, God created man with an intelligent mind. Adam was probably one of the smartest men that's ever walked this earth, because look what he did in naming all those animals. And so he had an intelligent mind. So what happened was, in this intelligent mind, though, sin entered in and brought a realm of ignorance. And because of ignorance, in turn, of seeing things different now, and Satan being able to influence people by his demons and others, they fail, and by falling, they lost their position with God in the sense of having a relationship with him where they could communicate together. And because of the ignorance, they began to indulge into sin, and they began to live a life of sin. And when people, I'm talking about the generation now, they started out with intelligence, And then they ended up with ignorance because sin entered in, and generations began to be produced after them. And they began then to leave ignorance and become have a reprobate mind. When they had ignorance, they began to indulge in sin. And then God says here in Romans 1, he gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, a reprobate mind means a mind that God cannot approve of. It means a mind that God himself has condemned. It means a mind that's perverted. Reprobate mind means a mind that deals with speculation and not revelation. So here we see man says that we evolved. In other words, we might have had a reprobate mind. We might have had indulgence. We were ignorant, and now we rose to an intelligent. God says, no, you were intelligent, and you sinned against me. And because of that, you began in ignorance now, and then you began to indulge, and you come to the place within a period of time, I had to give you up to a reprobate mind. I believe God rather than man. Now, that simply tells me some things about life. The Bible pattern is first, he shows us his law, which brings condemnation. And then God shows us his grace, which brings salvation. And he's showing he's the author. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, ladies and gentlemen, this is the door that leads us into God's courtroom. And fallen man has been shown in this courtroom of his unrighteousness. And you know what? Fallen man must see God's unrighteousness before he will ever appreciate God's righteousness. Do you hear what I said? Man in a fallen condition will never appreciate God's appreciate unrighteousness until he can see God's righteousness. And in a fallen state, you'll never be able to see God's righteousness. You have to be born again. And that's what the Holy Spirit draws one to the Lamb of God for. The world... evolution, lesser to higher knowledge. God says devolution, high to a lower knowledge in this life. So why won't God reveal himself physically rather than through faith or through this ring? They have a lot of questions about this. Why won't God just show us that he exists by removing the elements of faith and letting sight take over? They say, why? If God will let us see it, we believe. It's been proven they will not. Why? You forget. We like to remove the element of a fallen race and think just God showing up would be enough. But I find in the book of Revelation, after all the years God's dealing with man, when he begins to show his wrath, instead of turning to God, they run to the mountains and cry for the rocks to fall on them because they still won't trust him. So God knows what he's doing. And I believe it all my heart. After all, would not everybody believe in God if he just show up and show himself? I mean, why let God go to hell? Why to let people go to hell if they could be saved merely by God showing himself to be revealed by physical sight? I think this is a great question. It's a question that needs to be looked at. And a lot of people have wondered this at the same time. And probably you and I have wondered sometime. God, why don't you just come and show yourself? He is showing himself. But the Bible says God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. If we're going to ever understand anything about God, we're going to have to understand we have to have a spiritual relationship with him before anything ever works. And we lost that the day that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. So there's 4 points I want to give you on this. The first one is just with the question, why won't God reveal himself physically now to everyone? That makes sense if he would. Surely, surely they believe. No, it's been proven they would not. Did you know God has revealed himself to a lot of folks? And he's revealing himself today by faith to those who will trust him and believe his record, believe his word. While this question may seem deeply compelling to us on the surface, it quickly loses its credibility when you closely examine it using logic and even reasoning, which is God has given us in this life. This question is usually presented with the presumption that if God did show himself, people would be saved and everyone would believe just because they saw him. Why won't God give us proof that he exists? Why, if he would, surely everyone would believe. Surely if God revealed himself, people would avoid hell. But you forget one thing, people. God has appeared many times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and man failed to believe him. In fact, the Bible alone is filled with testimonies and history events of God interacting with mankind. In Hebrews chapter 1, in that first chapter, the first two verses, he says, God, who at sundered times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. In other words, God in the times past in various ways have spoken to people through the Father and through the prophets. Then he said, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the worlds around us. People forget that God has appeared many times. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, God walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And we have record of that. The only thing that stopped that was sin. That's the only thing that stopped it. Sin. S-I-N. And he stopped having a relationship with them. And we don't know for months and months, and know how long it was that he did walk with them. But I'll tell you this. He had a relationship with him. He walked with them, and they gave record of fact. They knew what God said they were to do or not to do. So here we see also that God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. God appeared to the angel of the Lord in a pre-incarnated Christ, to Abraham. God appeared or spoke to all the prophets as well in the Old Testament. God also appeared many times in the New Testament. We have record of that as we look into his word. Gabriel, for instance, tells us in the book of Matthew that Jesus Christ was Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God like human, or lived like a human being for 33 and a half years. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that means? That means that God, hear me, that means that God in the flesh lived among those people and they didn't know he was God. Even though Gabriel declared that he was God to start with. Can you imagine having God living in amidst us and not even know it? Say, I can't believe that happened. It happened for 33 and a half years. He didn't begin his message until his 30 years old, even though they knew there's something about him. Only one time we see him mentioned when he was 12 years old. And now we see the world listen to his teaching and what he teaches. Even the disciples who lived with him for three and a half years did not understand everything. And that's the reason he said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. So when he'll come, he'll teach you and bring to mind the things I've taught you so you will get it for the first time. Even Jesus Christ on this earth teaching and going over and over again, they could not get it. You know why? They didn't have the Spirit of God living in them. They were still depraved. Even though we know that he had recognized them being his people, and as far as I'm concerned, the new birth is just as real in their lives as it was after the day of Pentecost. But they had no one to help them. When the Holy Spirit came, though, on the day of Pentecost and indwelt them, then you see a different group of people. You see disciples running and hiding before then. Now you see them willing to give their life, and did all but John give their life for the cause of Jesus Christ. Jesus appeared to as many as 500 people at one time after his resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. Jesus validated his authority by performing many miracles when he was here on this earth. The Pharisees acknowledged his miracles, but explained them away by saying he did it all through, of all things, the religious leader in that day who was supposed to be setting over Israel to represent who the true in God was. When God came in flesh and dwelt among them, those very people said everything he did by his miracles was done by the power of all people, all beings, Satan. See, that's what the fallen heart does. If God was among us, localized, please hear this, like Jesus was, he would only be localized where he was at when he was there. But the way he said it now, by the Spirit of God, you're saved, you have the Spirit of God. I don't care where you go. You go to the deepest place in Africa, you go to Canada, you go to Hawaii, you go to Japan, you go any continent on this earth. A born-again child of God has the Spirit of God. If Jesus Christ was here, it couldn't be that way. He'd be where he's at, and then there would be those who'd have to listen where he's at to get what he has to say. God knows what he's doing. And he's showing us he's doing a miraculous thing in forming a body of his own, of the Lord Jesus Christ. In turn, and one day going to live whatever forever for him on the other side. Jesus validated his authority by performing many miracles. Again, God also appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos in a vision recorded in the book of Revelation. And so to answer the question, why won't God reveal himself in physical life? He has already done that many times. And keep in mind again, to localize himself puts him in one place. But the Holy Spirit is in us, and the Holy Spirit, who is omnipresent also, you cannot see. But the Holy Spirit is not doing anything much in this life except through you and I who are saved. You know why? Because people want to see somebody, not somebody they can't see. And you know what happens? When we come and the Holy Spirit followed him, the Holy Spirit's going to give us the answer for them. And because they're lost, they'll either believe it or not believe it. And since they're looking for something not God, but a false God, they may believe something else other than the truth you give them. And you find the world hates you. Why? That's the reason Jesus said they hated me. Don't worry about it. They hated me, so they got to hate you. Why? If you have the same message, the world hates the message. And the latter days come, it's going to be worse and worse. Folks, I'm afraid, I'll be honest with you. My days are few. It may come before I leave. But I want to tell you what, this world has not seen nothing yet what it's going to see if the Lord don't come back. I'm telling you what, story, it's coming home to America. Watch it! It's coming home to America one of these days. God's not a respectable person when it comes to a lot of things in life. So the apostles were much braver when the Holy Spirit gave them the Holy Spirit than he was when he was sitting at Jesus' feet. Would you not say amen to that? I mean, listen, Peter went to pull a sword at Jesus' feet and whack an army soldier's ear off. But he's not at the cross when Jesus died. Only John's there. He's afraid. And yet immediately when he gets the Holy Spirit, all of them give their life for Christ in a very miraculous way. And so God appeared to John. So the answer to the question is, why won't God reveal himself to physical life? He already has. Number two, God continues to reveal himself even today. Christians who walk closely with the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, can personally attest to the fact that the Holy Spirit works in their lives. Do you think I'd give 54 years of my life to what I'm doing now if I didn't think God was real? Would you think that I'd give that long a period of my time if God hadn't shown me he's real? Do you not think that I could do things? Listen, I didn't go to the ministry because I was ignorant. I didn't go because I didn't have a career. I didn't go because I didn't have a job. I didn't go, hey, all those things I had as good as anybody in this land had when God touched my heart and began to deal with me. He's got to be real, or you wouldn't do the things you're doing either. If he didn't think he's real, well, you wouldn't be here this morning listening to me, because it's the foolish thing in this world here preaching if you're not saved. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that. So I know that he's real. I know that. Christians who walk close to the Lord know that. Jesus teaches that when you become born again, God will send his Holy Spirit to dwell in you. He will lead you and I. He will convict us of sin. And more things come when you get born into the family of God. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul told them this as he was speaking to them. He said to them, watch, and I believe this because this is what makes the difference that the world cannot see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own, but you have bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Watch this, which are God's. God says they're his. And he's going to disperse it one day when we leave this body, as he said in his precious word. The Bible instructs us that the proof of God's existence lies in the nature itself. The most logical and rational and reasonable explanation for such a sophisticated creation we see in this world is an intelligent design. And yet you find people who have great intelligence look at that as being false. And they rather believe in evolution, which they know cannot be proven. And yet they accept it as a fact. This proves that there's no excuse to reject God, Romans 20, because in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, he said, man is without excuse. Why won't God reveal himself physically? Number three, there is the misconception that if God would reveal himself, everyone gets saved. And that is absolutely not true, for he's already revealed himself in many ways. Look, he revealed himself to Israel as a whole nation on the Mount Sinai. scared them to death. And he said, Moses, don't let him talk to us anymore. And look what happened with just a period of time. The whole nation went against God. Jesus teaches that when you become born again, God will send his Holy Spirit to you and I. The Bible shows us that Satan, who knew God existed, puffed himself up with pride and rebelled against him. And that's what James is talking about in James chapter 2, verse 19. And as a result of what he did, he was cast out of heaven and took a third part of the angels with him. And we see record Isaiah 14, 12 and Revelation 12, 4. Move further with the two sons of Adam and Eve. There's Cain and Abel. Cain also knew God. You say, well, you can't prove that. Yes, I can. He needed to bring a sacrifice. He just refused to bring the correct sacrifice. Do you think he'd have brought any sacrifice if he didn't know God? No. And so he would thought it foolish to bring a sacrifice, but God said, bring one. Now he decides that he's going to bring what he wants. He knows, God, you deserve a sacrifice, so I'm going to give you what I want, not what you said you want. And you know what happened there. And yet he killed Abel, his brother, and God sent him out on his own. The Israelites saw incredible miracles performed by God, as he delivered them from Egypt. Look at the Red Sea. Man, what could have better deliverance? You see, they come to the Red Sea, the armies behind of Egypt, and Pharaoh's armies, and all of a sudden the Red Sea opens up and millions of people cross over the Red Sea. Then they get on the other side and they're grumbling because they don't have no food. And then God sends them manna. And now that's not good enough for them. And then he sends quails down. They don't have to shoot them, just reach up there and get them. Can you imagine what kind of miracle this all that was, the hand of God? Ladies and gentlemen. And then when they come to the Jordan River to go across to take the land of Canaan, they're still handicapped. How are they going to get across? It took months to build rafts to go across, and God opened those waters up for them. And look what happened when they got in the land of Canaan. God's proven over and over to a mind who will believe him that he can do all those things in the flesh, and because man's fallen, it won't make him trust the Lord any better. A few may, but most will not. And therefore, we see the handworking of God. Knowing God exists doesn't make does not mean that people will accept him. Say, preacher, I just believe the word. Let me give you some thought. Listen to me, folks. You know, people, don't you know that people know there are jails in this land? I don't think anyone in any age at all don't know that if you do certain things, you're going to be locked up in jail if found guilty. Amen? But I ask you, people knowing that jails in this land, does that stop them from committing crimes? No. Why? They're fallen. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Did you know that children also know that they know their parents exist? Do you not know that knowing their parents exist does not stop them from disobeying their parents? Well, preach that step different. No, it's not. As a matter of fact, God's much more than you and I are. And what he said, even though you will know he's here, there'd be many who wouldn't believe it. Because once he localized himself, he's got to have things like we have. Electronics and other things, at least. He's non-omnipresent. That blows my mind, because I don't see how in the world he can be non-omnipresent, localize himself. But Jesus did in a body of flesh. Well, I understand that he was born. Pre-incarnated later. I understand that because there was a body he was involved. But once they move into a body, then there is no being somewhere else at that particular time. In my reason, when you localize yourself, then if that be the case, you say, well, maybe God could localize himself everywhere. Well, if he could localize himself everywhere, there'd still be some doubt in people's mind whether it was really God or not. Once he left, the fallen man would begin to say, no, you know, somebody might have tricked us. By the way, how do you know that? Because a lot of people today are tricking people in miracles that are not actual miracles. And they'll drive following and give thousands of dollars to someone who's supposed to be performing miracles, and all they're doing is send a show. God don't work that way. And I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, this is a wonderful thing if God can unravel in our heart and life. The Bible says that you shall not kill. Does that stop people from killing? Now, who said that? God said that. Does that mean then if God was here in this stage this morning and say the Bible says thou shalt not kill, does it mean people stop killing? No, why? They already showed us they will not because of the fallen condition. Why won't God reveal himself to us physically? Number four, what does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? Romans 10:9. Thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God raised him from the dead. This does not mean just intellectual belief. And James tells that. To do that, the devils believe and they tremble. Someone could believe Jesus exists and they could still be lost. Do you know that? There are people who literally can believe that Jesus exists from a head knowledge and just as lost as Satan himself. Because if he don't go beyond intellectual belief to a heartfelt receiving, to as many as receive him, that means they took him. They didn't just acknowledge belief, they just acknowledge it. Oh yeah, I acknowledge that Jesus lived. I believe he lived. But he said to as many as receive him in John 1:12, to as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. That means they took him with all their heart and soul. Even Satan and his demons believe and know that God exists, and they tremble in James 2:19. The word believe means to totally trust, not merely intellectual belief, but that you're going to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and make him Lord of your life, like Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, 10, and 11 says. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, give him a name above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And he says of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. That means he's supreme in authority. And there's no one else other than him when it comes to that, to the glory of God the Father. The fact is that fallen man needs redeeming, and that means changing everything. One day, everyone will not just see the proof of God, but they're going to see God himself. And that's going to be different. And when we see him ourselves, we'll be in a glorified body. There'll be no misunderstanding who he is. There's no be no misconception. You're going to see him as he is. And you're going to see him what we see in the Hebrews. He talks about without faith it's impossible to please God. And you must believe that he is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that day we will do just that in these lives. When you meet Jesus Christ, will he be your Savior or will he be your judge? Now, he could be both because he's our Savior and also judges in works as far as the Bema Seat. But without Christ, he's your judge and that's all. And it's at the great white throne judgment. Today, he wants to be your Savior. And that's what this Bible and grace is about. That's what we're doing here. To present as simple as possible the message and let you see it's undergirded by grace. And by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved. None of yourself is a gift of God. God is holy. Man is fallen. Man has to be redeemed to understand God's revelation. God has to be redeemed to understand God's righteousness. And then when you see that, it's a wonderful thing. Keep in mind, God can reveal himself spiritually as he can physically. Someone said, well, he revealed himself physically to us, I believe. He can reveal himself spiritually for you to see him better than he could if he would physically. Because he gives you the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is drawing us. And when the Holy Spirit moves in, he don't move out. When Jesus was in Nazareth, he could not be anywhere else in Palestine. Even though he had power resurrection, he could go through a wall. Just how he did it, we don't know. He could just appear among the apostles on that first Sunday night as they shut up scared to death. So keep in mind, God can reveal himself spiritually just as much so as he can physically, and that's what this book is about. The Holy Spirit helps us put the two together. And that's what this book is about. That spiritual awaken, quicken, Ephesians 2:1, brings us enlightenment about him to look through the eyes of faith and know that what we see shows us there's a creator. And spiritually, God reveals who that creator is. So he brings us together. Not only do we see him first spiritually who he is, but then we also see him physically by what we see. and know he's there. And when they fall on, we're going to go through the boundaries of this flesh. One heartbeat, you heard me say. Last breath here in this pulley there. And one breath in the sweetest, best air has ever been breathed in eternity. That's what it's going to be like. Would you stand to your feet, please, with head bowed. My Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you this morning for those who listen. I thank you, Lord, for those who will have an open mind and let you open their heart to let them see. God, I believe it all in my heart. What I've said is true, and to back it up is the fact that if God's way spiritually revealing himself would be the best way, you've done that. So therefore, the physical showing of yourself must not have been the best way to understand the things of God who is a spirit. For the Holy Spirit of God comes in and lives and begins to reveal to us spiritual truth that's found in this book. And then the evidence of things we see helps us know that there is a reality of a Creator who is our Lord and Savior. And one day, because we're the body of Christ, been born into the family of God, we will see not only Jesus Christ, but God the Father, and even the blessed Holy Spirit that took a bow in our heart and life when we got saved. Lord, bless this message to the hearts that want to be blessed. That's all I can ask. Honor yourself through it. If Satan gets us hung up on some technicalities of things, it keeps us from doing other things. I pray today that the thought of the way people would say seeing God physically, Lord, would just go out of the way, because that'd been the way that God saw fit to do it, he'd do it. But in his plan and purpose, he's come up with the most wonderful, miraculous thing called the body of Christ. And God's showing Satan, in spite of what he did to God's creation of man, in this plan and program, God will bring back to himself a group of people who will love him, cherish him, serve him until we get home on the other side. And he can present us as his wonderful bride to God the Father. What an amazing time that's going to be. And God the Father will know the only thing we did to get what he offered was believe the record that God gave of his Son. And it pleased the Father. And he did what he said he'd do. Birth us into the family of God and make us heirs and joint heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing, Lord. Please don't ever let me in my life know what I need to do, not things I don't need to do. Lord, let me be like Joshua. Find the things that I must do, you said do, and not leave undone. Lord, my life is too short now to do things that God didn't say do. This Bible gives us everything we need. Help someone to see it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.